Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, I am Kay Smalls, the most fantastic.
Dr. Phil.
My name is Ayani.
I'm just Caitlin.
And I'm VK Marco, finally back.
And this is...
Back
in full effect after a kind of hiatus.
And you can catch us on SoundCloud and iTunes. Just make sure you go there. Search for Nuff Said. That's K-N-U-F-F space S-A-I-D. You can also catch us on Instagram at Nuff Said. And you can catch us on Tumblr at This Is Nuff Said. So what's up? Shout to Klaus. Happy belated birthday.
Happy belated birthday, Klaus.
You had the greatest time ever in Mexico. And shout out to Erica and Chris and anybody else that I miss.
Subscribe, review, and comment. Again, subscribe, review, and comment.
And like.
I'm trying to get these stats up, son. Don't you want to see us go places? There's so many conventions out there. There's like Garden State Expo, WonderCon, NYCC.
Boom.
Did you register yet? I registered.
I did too.
Did anybody else register here for Comic-Con?
Ooh, shame on y'all. You got until June 13th.
Yeah. I did not.
I had some life stuff to do with. So
Comic-Con is life.
It's kind of important, you know. So... Now that we're all reunited after a hiatus.
And it feels so good.
Feels pretty good.
Hashtag Hail Hydra.
Yeah, I know, right? I know, right? let's jump right into This Week in Comics.
Please.
You know, since you made that comment, we might as well just talk about, you know, friggin' Captain America number one. No, I'm sorry, Steve Rogers, Captain America number one. I'm feeling some kind of way about it. I get that they're kind of digging into Steve's. They're looking for stuff right now because it's like, oh well, we never really dealt with Steve's childhood, so let's deal with that and let's throw some bogeys in there for you, Steve Rogers fans. I don't know how I feel about that thing, that stinger at the end of him saying Hail Hydra and his mom going to a Hydra meeting because her dad was abusive. Like I don't know how I feel. I really really don't. Unless. You know, it's Cap pulling that good Cap scenario he usually pulls where you think he's doing one thing, but he's really doing other things because he's a master tactician.
I mean, either way, this is better than Hotline Bling from Drake because
the memes that have come from it
are amazing.
Have you guys seen those?
No, I haven't seen any memes.
Oh, my goodness.
Just look up Hail Hydra on any Instagram or Tumblr, and it is quite amazing.
Yeah.
All I know is, you know, I'm going to give them some room to operate. You know, it's Cap. Like I said, the history of Cap Comics has either been hit or miss. It looks like they're trying to, you know, they're jumping back and forth between him being a kid and him being an adult. And, you know, if this is going to throw a wrench in everything that we know about Cap, I'm going to be pissed off. But we'll see. We'll see. That's how I feel about that.
But I guess then that kind of leads into the new Civil War.
Yeah, because I was about to say, you know, memes don't count when we're talking about longevity. It won't, and someday memes won't be important.
First off, you are wrong because even the meme with the dude holding the wall, right? That spanned super generations.
And if you want to get technical about what a meme is, it's something that existed long before the internet was a thing.
A meme?
Civil War won.
And
Civil
that
War
Jordan
II.
Cry meme is going nowhere. It is going strong right now.
Okay, so this is okay. I'm taking a side note that's about 10 seconds. The dude who took that original photo is actually really pissed about it because he said he took that photo, it was a moment, it was important for sports history, and they've taken it and minimized it to bullshit. He's upset, you know, and I get it.
He can be mad all he wants.
Corey's getting a crying Jordan photo on the Instagram.
That's fine. I'm so tired of it, though. It's like, dude. Dude. What's funnier than the Jordan meme, really though, is and I'm going over my 10 seconds. It's fine.
No.
Funnier than the Jordan meme is the memes they're doing right now. These LeBron Curry memes
are fucking
hilarious.
Okay.
Okay. Did you see the one where this is hilarious? So LeBron walks up and Curry's at a table with a top hat on. He's got cards. And then the cards have the logos for both teams, and then the last card says L, and then LeBron picks one, and then when he turns it over, it has the crying Jordan meme. And then Curry's like, you know, it's hilarious. So
the ones I've been loving recently are the SpongeBob ones, where they have SpongeBob, Caveman SpongeBob, or Mr. Krabs with Mr. the background, Krabs, and he doesn't know what's going on. Yeah. Oh, those have been, it's like when you're in your house at night, you suddenly hear a noise, and it's like Caveman SpongeBob in the dark. Yeah. Like,
the other one I like is, what's that movie, that dance movie with Omarion and all them?
Oh, God. Oh,
Step It Up? No.
Is that it? I know which Stop one you're talking about. No. I know which one you're talking about, though.
Anyway,
I just can't.
They did that with both teams. You know, where it was like, you know, on one side it was Curry and them, and then they were like supposed to be the good guys, and then LeBron ones, they came up and they were like dancing, and I was like, this is pretty fucking funny. But I had to stop looking at them because they just kept coming back to back. Meanwhile, back in comic book world, that was my tangent, since you brought up memes.
Ding.
No, it's only for you.
It's only for me?
Yeah, it's only
we
for you.
Share. I think we should revisit that rule, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so ding.
Civil War 2, how aptly named it is. Issue 1.
Because it's the second? What?
Because they're rehashing. Yeah. So, I'm not convinced yet. I'm really upset by the deaths. I think it was lame as shit. Yes, there are deaths.
I have to read this?
Yes, you have to read
it. Important people
or
died?
You can just like watch a YouTube review or something.
Two important people. One person definitely dies, and someone else, it seems like they die at the end of the issue.
Were they black?
Spoiler alert.
It's way too big. That's so small of a sample size. I could guess.
So the motivation. So basically what we've done is we've taken the formula of the original Civil War.
I'm sorry.
You know, remember in the original Civil War, there was an incident with the new warriors and the explosion happened and people died. And then they were like, oh, the superheroes need to be regulated. In this particular scenario, it's an inhuman who gains the ability after the Terrigen Mist happened to see the future. So he can see into the future. And our good friend Captain Marvel decides that he should be weaponized because if we can prevent things before they start, why shouldn't we do it? And our good friend Tony doesn't agree with that.
It sounds like a Tom Cruise movie.
No.
It is a Tom Cruise movie, actually.
So our good friend Tony says, this is a bad idea. This isn't what we do. Yeah, bad things are going to happen. We just stopped a bad thing from happening because this kid saw the possibility of it happening. Captain Marvel goes, well, that's why we should use his abilities. He should join our team, the Ultimates, and then we can save the world. Tony goes, this is a bad idea. And then right after that, the kid has a vision. Captain Marvel goes, oh, we should stop that. And because of her hubris, the incident occurs where people die. Tony's pretty pissed off because one of the people that dies is pretty important to him, and he's pretty mad.
Oh, yeah. That's so...
Yeah.
Basically, Rhodey dies.
Yeah.
What? Come on, man.
I didn't want to ruin it for you.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, Rhodey gets...
They basically
did... Manation to kill him,
huh? In, like, Civil War, the comic book, what they played it doing in the movie.
Rhodey gets hella blasted. And I mean blasted.
Hello,
like, blasted. And She-Hulk ends up in a hospital bed. Ironically, the last page is She-Hulk saying, don't listen to Tony. You know, you do it. And then it goes, beep.
First off, She-Hulk ain't dying because A-Force has only 6 issues deep, and it's amazing.
Well, we all know that whatever's happening over here in this book has shit to do with like what's happening in this book.
But
she's in a hospital bed.
Number one, she bed not die. They are only 6 issues in this, okay? And we need her to talk, to go back and forth with Medusa.
She bed not?
Bed not.
B-E-D-N-O-T, huh?
Bed not.
Bed not.
Yeah.
Make your bed not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, another thing is... Oh my gosh, I completely forgot what I was going to say. Whatever, keep going.
The premise, I mean, to me, it's just like, I mean, we're supposed to trust Bendis because he's done some amazing shit, man, but it's like, look, I get it. The original Civil War didn't happen because we remade the Marvel Universe, but like, why are you doing this? You're doing almost exactly the same thing, man. You've tweaked a couple of notes, but you're doing almost exactly the same thing. Instead of Tony being the guy who says, we should register, and Steve going, no. Now it's Tony saying, hey, man, I think it's a bad idea for you to just decide to stop stuff before it happens because then you're going to be creating some problems. And Captain Marvel goes, no. And they go, well, you know, whose side are you on? They're even using the same thing in the ads. It goes, whose side are you on? Pick a side. And I think Tony's is protect the future. Yeah. And then hers is change the future.
Oh, they could have gone for predict, and then they'd have the two P's, and they'd have the matching. I don't know.
I mean,
that's
know.
What I would have done. Marvel should hire
Her whole argument was, aren't you a futurist? And he's like, yeah, I am, but I respect the future. Like, we try and build to change the future.
Some
She's like, well, we're going to change the future. It's right. I'm going to keep reading, because I got to know what happens clearly. It's not terrible.
Yeah.
But actually.
I bet you everyone's been telling me that it's dope.
You should read it.
I'm going to read it.
I enjoy the art.
Yes.
I want to see how they're going to play this out. But if it ends up being a note-for-note rehash of what they've already done, then, Bendis, you need to go on vacation.
Do you really think they'll do that, though? I mean, I feel like Bendis is a smarter writer than that.
It took them, like, three issues to kill the black dude. They killed him in issue one.
Yeah.
So, like, they're going to go left now.
Like, they jumped.
They already hit that plot point.
They, like, jumped the premise so quick. Like, in the original Civil War, it really was, like, the third issue before you really understood, oh, snap.
Like, that it was like, getting serious.
Yeah, like, it's serious. Like, they're going to, like, these guys are going to get arrested or killed if they don't agree to sign this thing. Like, it was, the original story had, like, a, it very much was a reflection of the time, too, when it was written. You know what I mean? Like, there was a lot of politics in that story.
Does anyone remember the Punisher's Captain America suit that we got from Civil War?
I thought that was a hell of a scene when Steve was beating the shit out of the Punisher and he said, fight back, and he said, not you. You know? So that's a dude that the Punisher respects whose head he won't blow off. You know? Like but that was a serious character note. That was a serious scene. What we're getting here is, hey guys, remember when we did that thing that one time and then we kind of washed it away? We're doing it again. Yay. We're doing it again, guys.
Surprise.
That's how I'm feeling right now. But we'll see.
What is dead must never die.
I guess. Meanwhile, over in D.C.
Yo, D.C. Demonstrative conclusions?
Yeah.
Bruh, they don't suck right now. It's kind of amazing.
This guy agrees with me. So, did you read...
Wait. You guys agree on a DC thing being positive?
Yeah.
I'm a little
perhaps we're
worried. I don't know.
Did you read?
like, I think y'all can have a drink for that.
Did you read Rebirth?
I didn't read Rebirth. I read Batman Rebirth.
You read Batman Rebirth. Let's talk about that first.
Batman has a black dude hanging out with him.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Why am I? I'm very like fixated today on race. I'm gonna get past that. But.
I did appreciate the fact. No.
Go for it.
I appreciate the fact that, you know, I mean, a lot of times those types of characters get written off when a storyline ends. So the fact that they didn't write him out, and he pretty much was the heart of the We Are Robin book.
So wait, so this is not...
Oh, is that Homeboy?
Yeah.
No, wait, this isn't the kid that was Lil Black Robin. This is his brother, right?
I thought it was him. Is it his brother?
When I read the ending of like Batman 52,
no, that
or
is
Batman
him
50,
because his parents were the ones that got Jokerized and they're still all messed up.
His parents are messed up, but his older brother was already working for Wayne Tech. Oh no, he got turned into that plant vagina.
No, that was him. It's definitely the same kid.
Yeah,
the fact that he didn't get written out, I also appreciate, and I'm sure you do too, that they didn't just slap a Robin costume on him. I like that Bruce said, you're not here to audition for Robin.
He's like, I'm trying.
He said it twice. He's like, I'm trying something different.
And your outfit's yellow.
We're going to try something different.
And you're not throwing a batarang.
Yeah, you know. We already got a Robin.
He's basically the French masseur from, not masseur, he's the French butler. Wow. He's the French butler from Moon Knight at this point. The black dude.
He's wearing yellow though?
Yeah, he's wearing yellow.
Yeah.
Black and yellow.
It's a suit.
That's Batman always has the other person be the target. That's how that works.
Well, he trains them enough where that they won't just be a blank target. But that was the original reason why Robin's costume was colorful.
Kind of fucked up.
Well, I mean,
he's like, shoot the kid.
Not necessarily that, but they also said the reason they made his costume colorful is because this dude's living in a cave. Everything's black and gray, like. You know, this person's personality is bright and cheerful, and you need that so that you don't become depressed and kill yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's also a moving target.
And also, he's a moving target who happens to be an acrobat. He's pretty good.
Flip. They do flips and stuff.
Not as much as the original, but they do.
Yeah, I don't know how much of an acrobat Jason Todd was.
No, he wasn't that much of an acrobat. In fact, he was beaten to death with a crowbar.
And Tim was mini detective, you know?
Well, I mean, he got the job because he figured out who Batman was.
Yeah.
Of course, they retconned that, so now he's just a guy who was Robin for a little while and then became Red Robin. Fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Anyway.
They had to change mad stuff, though.
No, that shit's trash.
Because, like, his whole family tragedy is tied into, like, Sue Dibney being raped.
Yeah, I know.
So, like...
But it's just,
So did none of that happen? No? What was that? That was Infinite Crisis?
Yeah.
So many crises.
Anything that happens in a crisis, I assume that it didn't happen.
It truly is an infinite crisis.
never-ending crisis.
But the crisis, I feel like this Rebirth book is written in the spirit of the original Crisis, you know. And then a little bit of how awesome Zero Hour was when, you know, they realized, yo, we messed up a lot of timelines. Zero Hour started everything over, but it did it in a proper way. We're talking about when Green Lantern became Parallax and all that good stuff. That was a hell of a run.
I always loved that name.
This Rebirth book, I was impressed. Because instead of just saying, hey, man, you know, we fucked up for a while, guys, and this new 52 thing, you guys didn't like it, so we're going to wipe the slate clean and do it over. No, it was like, yo, remember Flashpoint? Remember that thing that happened that started the new 52? Well, guess what? You thought it was all tied up, but it wasn't. So, basically, I'm going to spoil a little bit.
Yo, okay, I'm gonna spoil. You keep going because there's other Flashpoint implications in the DC universe.
Yeah, well, I mean, but it all spins off of this.
No, it doesn't, huh? Because... Does anyone else here watch Flash, or am I the only one?
I watch it.
Yo, did you see the season finale?
Mm-hmm.
So they're basically, they could do Flashpoint in TV.
They totally could.
And
it would be
awesome.
And
all of the DC shows are in one place, and they're controlled by one person.
Yeah.
They could literally do Flashpoint.
They could, in fact, do it.
Sorry.
Don't apologize.
What I was excited about was that they started off with, it was very, very reminiscent of Crisis when Barry died saving everyone, and it was like a big deal, you know? Except in this particular instance, no one remembers Barry. Barry is trapped in the Speed Force.
That naughty Speed Force.
And, you know, essentially, I mean, since no one, he's not dead, but no one remembers him. And he remembers everything.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have enough power. It's the same thing that happened... Wally, rather, not Barry. It's the same thing that happened to Barry when Barry came back the first time. When he was dead and then he came back.
Yeah.
And they said, where were you? Or I was trapped, you know, in the world between the worlds.
Oh, so Wally
is trapped in the Speed Force.
And no one remembers him.
And no one remembers who he is. So he keeps, like, appearing. He's using his energy to appear.
Yeah.
He's trying to talk to his girl. You know, he's trying to... He tried to talk to
which
Batman.
Wally? Is this... Which Wally is
the original Wally.
Redhead Wally.
Redhead Wally?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah, great. So... the whole thing is he's really basically recounting what happened with Flashpoint the entire time, and then kind of like the history of like his relationship with the Flash and how he got his powers and his personal history while he's trying to reach out and appear, and you know, people are like, yo, dude, what's happening? Like, I don't know you.
Does that mean, you know, new Wally's gonna do a face heel turn?
I don't know.
That'd be kind of dope.
But I do know that Batman didn't recognize him. His girlfriend didn't recognize him because they never met. And then he appeared in the very last page when he appears before Barry, and his energy is just about to dissipate. He's about to like be over, and the two of them, their hands meet, and then he remembers him, and then he appears. Because if somebody can remember him, then he'll appear. So he was tangible.
You trying to tell me that Flash is Candyman?
Like, no, there's a lot of things that are like that, though. Like, if I can hold on to a memory, then you still exist. There was something I was reading recently that had that. I know American Gods has some of that in there.
And we're talking about his whole history. Like, he was a Titan. He was Kid Flash. Like, nobody remembers that. So when Barry and his hands touched, then Barry said, Wally. And then, like, they cried and he woke up. And then it was like, because that. Then there was a whole bunch of stuff. You know, you have to read it, but there's stuff that happens after that pretty much sets you up for these things are going to happen. Shows Wonder Woman, shows Aquaman, and the last very last panel is Batman in the Batcave, and there's something stuck in the wall, and when he pulls it out of the wall, it's the pin from Watchmen.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Do you remember the pin with the blood?
Yeah.
The happy face pin?
No, yeah.
Now, keep in mind, those universes are supposed to be totally separate. Right? Yeah, the Watchmen are over here. But he pulled it out of the Batcave wall, and he looks at it, and that's like the very last
thing. Shit's about to go down.
And it's like, oh, snap. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, Batman, Rorschach, question.
I was like, whoa, you guys dug deep on this one because you knew we were pissed off about this whack-ass new 52 shit. So, yeah, man, I was impressed. I was actually impressed with a DC book that wasn't Batman related, despite the fact that Batman was in the last panel. You got to read it. I was impressed with it. Then I read Superman Rebirth number 1. I think I already talked about that before the broadcast, but pretty much all we're leading into is pre-New 52, a.k.a. our Superman, becoming the Superman because their Superman is a pile of dust.
But Lois Lane has Superman powers now.
Yeah.
Why do we need regular Superman?
Well, all they're doing is Reign of Superman. That's what this is. This is Reign of Superman. Remember when our Superman died, and then they had the four Superman. That's what this is. It's exactly the same number of Supermans.
It's
Reign of Superman.
Hallelujah. Reign of Superman.
And it's like, hey, amen. Hey, Supes, you can be back, but your boots will be a solid color instead of being red. Yay! You know, and your kid has powers. Yeah.
I'm all about Snaggletooth Superboy with like a ripped shirt and jeans and a cape tied around his neck.
And a bad attitude.
Well, except he has the good attitude and his counterpart, you know, Robin has the bad attitude.
Yeah, I mean, appearances can be deceiving.
Yeah. And he doesn't have a ripped t-shirt and a red shirt tied around. He has they actually make him a little suit. His jeans are ripped, though.
They really shouldn't.
Are Robin and Superboy going to hang out and have like
Yes.
It's a book. It's called The Super Sons.
Yeah.
So awesome. I'll read that. You know, that's it's, traditional DC.
It's Damian, right?
Isn't Damian like destined to like run hell or something? Like,
I mean,
so many different weird timelines.
We don't know if that timeline exists now. Okay. We don't know if the 666 timeline exists.
But it is Damian, right?
Yeah.
It's Damian? Okay.
But I mean, that storyline, that timeline originally started out as an Elseworlds story, for those of you who know your DC history. So Elseworlds was like the Twilight Zone of the DC universe. Like, what would happen if this thing happened? And there was a whole bunch of books. Hey, what would happen if Batman and Robin appeared, you know, in the 17th century and they were pirates? You know, what would happen? What would happen if Superman's rocket didn't land in Kansas and landed in Russia and we got Red Sun? Like, all those are Elseworlds stories. So Damian's, the 666 Damian that ends up turning Gotham into hell was an Elseworlds Damian originally. So I don't think that timeline exists now since Flashpoint happened and a bunch of shit happened before that.
What happened to the Justice League Dark movie?
Yeah, so I don't know.
Yeah, my brain is all over the
perhaps
place.
We should ask Warner Brothers. So, Rebirth 1, actually really interesting. Should definitely read it. I enjoyed Batman, and apparently you enjoyed it as well.
You know what isn't horrible, by the way? And then this will be the last comic book I talk about. The Scooby-Doo Apocalypse.
I knew you were about
to say it. I read it. It's not
bad. How did you
know?
I didn't see this
the
coming.
The art's pretty dope.
I knew he was going to say
it. The art's pretty dope, and they do something for me that just makes me feel wonderful. They explain why Scooby-Doo can talk because he was being experimented on, and that's why he can talk. And Shaggy isn't a complete idiot, which makes me feel doubly okay.
Yeah, he's just a tattooed hipster with a wax twirl mustache.
And there was also a nice little Dino Mutt Easter egg in the first page of the book. So, like, I'm hoping that all of these weird Hanna-Barbera, like, characters just pop up in cool ways.
Yeah, it's like fucking Wacky Racers. Like, yo, let's take these Hanna-Barbera cartoons and make them serious because, you know, we got to make money off this shit.
Yo, but not even that. First off, I read part of the one that's, like, Space Ghosts and Humanoids and Johnny Quest.
Yeah.
Not horrible. Not horrible.
Wait, my dad and I were actually watching old Space Ghost cartoons a little while ago.
Like the actual cartoons, not Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
Not Coast to Coast, but like the old one.
Space Ghost is dope.
I thought it was the most hilarious thing ever. He just pushed them six buttons and then can make anything happen. Yeah. He's like, don't worry. I have a Swiss Army knife in here. We go get you out.
We're going to get eaten by this energy creature. Don't worry.
Well, like in the book, they basically make.
Sometimes that shit didn't work, though.
Yeah.
And no, the kids had to save Space
Ghost.
That
is true, yeah.
They were kind of annoying, too.
Yeah, they were.
And the monkey? Remember the monkey? Why did the monkey have a mask? What identity is the monkey trying to keep safe?
Are you talking about the Super Friends?
No.
No, Space Ghost had a monkey.
Yeah, I know. Which was essentially Gleek, you know?
Yeah.
Those kids were essentially the fucking Wonder Twins and Gleek. That's why I was annoyed with
them. All right. But this
Gleek also, Gleek had a mask in the beginning.
When they reimagined the Space Ghost, like, in that comic book, they basically made it Nova Corp / Green Lantern. So, like, it's really cool. Yo, whoever they have working on this, they have them doing a serious attempt at it, unlike that G.I. Joe Street Fighter monstrosity.
Stop mentioning that. It didn't happen.
It hurt my heart. That's why.
Kyle, you gotta heal.
It hurt me.
You gotta let it go.
Anyone that knows me knows that I dwell. I still remember things that happened to me when I was four.
Yeah.
I know that's a bold-faced lie. But
I can.
Stuff.
We can agree with that.
I don't remember stuff when I was four.
I do.
There was a point in my life where I just legitimately believed that my parents erased my memory every, like, 4 years because I couldn't remember stuff after a certain amount of time. But then I was like, Kyle, that's what getting older is. So, all right.
So enjoy that Scooby-Doo apocalypse situation. Let me know how it goes. You know, let me know how it goes. Yeah, that I think that about wraps up comics. I think you should read Rebirth. I've been reading Doctor Strange, just as a side note. You should continue to read that because it's fucking awesome.
I will.
It's so good.
We'll talk about that.
We'll say really quickly before we move on that Giant Days continues to be a lot of fun, and our 3 years while students are, you know, film festival, and I don't know. It's still silly and enjoyable.
It makes you happy.
And also, if you're reading All New, All Different Avengers, I hope you enjoy Annihilus.
Fucking Annihilus.
Enjoying who?
Annihilus? They're enslaved.
Yeah, you know, Annihilus, you know, he's in the microverse. He's an insect villain.
Oh, no, the Annihilation Wave, yeah.
Yeah, his bitch ass. Yeah.
He's been killed like 3 times.
Yeah.
Most heroically by Nova, the actual real Nova, Richard Rider, who literally pulled his guts out from his neck.
So let's say, hey, that's what happened. Let's bring back Annihilus in the Annihilus Wave because we need to figure out something.
Can I just point something out? They've literally brought back every single person from Annihilation except Richard Rider.
I found this a little anticlimactic, this reveal, but.
Well, I mean, you know, they can't use Ultron right now. You know, I mean, I think we're tired of Ultron at the moment.
That's fair.
So, you know, and making Vision a bad guy isn't working right now either.
No, not Vision.
But, you know, so yeah, they got to pull. They're looking down the roster of Avengers villains. Who can we use right now, guys?
They have the dude in the suit from Secret Wars.
So descriptive.
The guy in the suit that took people's powers. The main bad guy that was.
You mean the Beyonder?
No, remember. No, not the 80s jumpsuit.
In
the Spider-Man. All right, remember in the Spider-Man Secret Wars tie-in, there was a dude in like a metal suit and he was stealing people's powers.
Yeah, I remember that.
That dude is now in 616, and he's a bad guy. They could use him.
I guess no one cares about him. They're pulling classic villains right now. Now it's definitely a class. They should. Where the fuck is Kang? Kang's badass.
They've like done a million things with Kane. They've brought Kane back as a kid and then made him know that it's inevitable that he's gonna be a bad guy.
Yeah.
They've like done a million things with Kane. Like nothing you can really do. But Put him in a time paradox.
Well, I mean, all I'm saying is now
he was in Secret Wars too.
We're in the new hero. Yeah, okay, you're right about that. But we're in the new Marvel universe. I mean, we can have Kane.
Also, can I say how fun it is that reading Bombshells to have Duella Dent in the comic, in the same comic as Harley Quinn. I just think that's a lot of fun considering Harley Quinn was created to fill in the Duella Dent role when she was originally removed from the comics, kind of. That was the inspiration for her.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I don't know. I thought that was enjoyable. Here they are. She's back, which I never thought would happen, you know.
Are you not Googling Duella Dent? You need to know
the Joker's daughter, Two-Face daughter, every villain's daughter. She claimed a lot of titles.
Yeah.
I'm going to Google it, which isn't a thing.
It's not the
if
same.
If I end up in Wikipedia, I'll let you all know.
Yeah.
But
I'm actually not into this whole, like, and not to cut you off, but, and I know you like Harley Quinn, and I think she's a great character.
Yeah.
But, like, this whole, let's have a whole book of Harley Quinns, or let's have Harley Quinn have a team. Like, I get it.
She's oversaturated right now.
Yeah, it's because the movie's coming out, and they're like, I really hate when they do that, though, because her significance as a character works. Like, when she was teamed up with Poison Ivy.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
That
was
actually a hell of a run.
My fave team.
You know? and they had some run-ins with Birds of Prey. Like, I was like, this is solid.
She's the closest thing to Deadpool that they have.
Yeah.
And even better, she's a woman. So yeah, she has woman parts.
I just think it's fucking cheesy.
Appeals to, like, comic book nerds.
Yeah.
She's also, like, a unique character. She's similar to Deadpool, but she's very different at the same time. She's,
I feel like what they're doing now is kind of besmirching her origins, though, too. They're kind of like, yo, she had a pretty serious origin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's tied in, you know, to the Joker and certainly to the Batman world. And it's like, I mean, the movie's not necessarily doing that. And that's fine because it's the movie.
Right.
But I kind of feel like...
Different continuity.
Yeah, now you're taking kind of the hype from the movie and you're putting that into the book.
But she's been kind of oversaturated for about like 2 years, even before the movie was really getting
out. Yeah, well, I mean, they were gearing up for
it. She was getting really popular.
Yeah. But
and when things get popular, people kind of like, oh, it's popular. Give them millions of it.
I mean, if you want a good Harley Quinn, just read Suicide Squad. Just read Suicide Squad. And that's where they usually write her the best.
Or you can read some great Batman runs where she was really great.
Or you can watch Batman the Animated Series.
Or you can write Batman the friggin' Animated Series.
That's the go-to place.
So the Suicide Squad cartoon, actually, I think, played her pretty well. I thought it was an interesting take on it. Yeah, there was DC put out...
That movie?
Yeah.
That movie that was so reckless that had a sex scene with her in Deadshot?
Yeah, that movie was reckless.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
she
that
made
was
me
like
laugh.
Assault on Arkham.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that
good use of a Batman too.
Yeah.
That's not like the main character, but like swooping
in. Yeah, and a lot of people say that that was their testing of the waters to see if people would actually care.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, they didn't admit that, but there were insiders who were like, "Yeah, that's why they did that. Because otherwise, why did they need to do it?"
That was a very fun animated.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
it was reckless.
It was a nice little romp, man. It was nice. So I guess we'll see if the movies is good.
Yo, the movie has to save DC. Otherwise, they're just going to give the rights to Marvel and just let Marvel. Like,
yeah, because
I'd watch that. Right now.
Yeah, we're not doing that
Could
today.
Could you imagine if they hired Jon Favreau to direct the next Superman movie?
No.
No?
No, I couldn't imagine that.
Speaking of movies, and speaking of Marvel movies that are...
That are licensed out to studios that don't care about the characters. Oh. A little movie called X-Men Age of Apocalypse came out. I'm sorry, Apocalypse. X-Men. I said Age of Apocalypse. See? I'm referencing...
Everybody's been saying Age of Apocalypse,
Because I'm referencing... It's not Age of Apocalypse. It's X-Men Apocalypse.
Currently at, 48% on Rotten Tomatoes? Is that where it's sitting?
So is that fresh? Is 48 certified fresh? It's rotten? Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I'd be surprised.
Yeah, you need to be high up. Yeah. If you didn't use that in a salad, it's time to throw it out.
it might still make for a decent Bloody Mary. I don't know.
No, I'm good, bro.
I've never... What?
I don't know. Don't you use tomato for a Bloody Mary?
If it's rotten...
You use tomato juice.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, but anyway, X-Men Apocalypse came out.
Yeah.
I mean, they need to pass. Well, it depends.
It was not a stinker.
Yeah, let me...
But...
How'd you feel about First Class and Days of Future Past?
We were talking about this earlier. So, when I rewatched First Class, every time I rewatch it, it drops down half a notch. Every time. I'm like, what? I forgot they did this. This is whack. I forgot they did this. This is whack. I forgot they did this. This is whack.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
There are some great parts. But there are also some lame parts. So I'm like, really, dude? You don't even understand how this dude's powers work? That's not what would happen. Like,
actually, this might be telling, but I don't remember nearly as much of that movie as I thought I did.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember nothing of either of those movies. Yeah. I've seen them both. I could not tell you one thing that happens.
I think if you want to be honest, I think
they were okay.
What was so good about it was that it was better than X3.
Well, you know what?
We still had that terrible rotten taste in our mouth from X3. We were so angry about it. And they were like, yo, let's start over, dude.
But I think part of what I really enjoyed about the two films, because I agree, they weren't the best films ever, though I did enjoy Days of Future Past, was the characterization. I felt like the characters were actually really well done. I was really impressed by James McAvoy's Professor X.
I really
liked Michael Fassbender as Magneto.
That was the heart of the film.
Yeah, and to be honest, that's what really drew me into those two films, is I thought that they were really well done. I think I forgave a lot of parts of the movies that I necessarily thought weren't the best because I thought they were so compelling.
I'll agree with that.
I agree, and I think you're right. I think that Days of Future Past is the more successful of the two.
Right.
It's the better of the two.
Yeah, it's more interesting, and the character dynamics are... Yeah, I like it. I like it more.
I feel like that movie is just more tight. Like, it's more together. It knows what it's doing. It's going in a direction.
There
aren't that many, like, weird offshoots. Of course, like, Mystique is in it, and she's blue, which she's supposed to be. But it doesn't veer off as much. So that I think that movie was good.
It had to be tight because Tom Cho was involved, and you had to be able to understand what was happening.
And it was setting something new up entirely, so it had to be prepared to be a launching pad.
It definitely was setting something completely new up.
Yeah.
I mean, really, like I said, First Class was like, hey guys, we know X3 was fucking terrible. Here's something that's better than X3. Then once they got that out of the way, they were like, okay, now we have to actually make a movie or people are going to be pissed.
Yeah.
Right.
So...
And the character moments were so nice, too. It was serious, but also funny, like, in a way that didn't distract from the plot.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, they took 50% of what was amazing about that original storyline, which is an all-time great X-Men storyline, took out a lot of the juice, but left some of the pulp and, you know, flipped it. And that's why it worked. It looks great, too, by the way.
That's how you make a Bloody Mary.
Yeah. It looked great.
Yeah.
You know.
And I don't know.
Logan was in it, which helped him.
Yeah. And I liked seeing the old characters and the new characters kind of in one film. And that sequence where James McAvoy and
Patrick Stewart
came together, I was just like, this makes me feel
That, if anything, was what drew people to it.
Right.
Initially. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that all the old characters are going to be in with all the new characters, that was a deal. That was a big deal.
Right.
It was solid. I give that a B+. This film, on the other hand,
this is a strong C. Strong C.
I just was so...
It's wavering between a C and a C-.
Like,
bro.
It just was so... I just thought it was a poorly put together film. Like, that's kind of my critique with the whole thing. Like, taking out all of the things that are different between the comics and the movie, because personally realize that these things are going to have to happen when you're drawing in people who aren't comic fans, per se. It just, it was lazy to me. It felt like lazy screenwriting. It felt like it was just a lazily put together movie.
Especially because now you have, even if you take the comic factor out of it, you have people who've been watching these movies for quite a while.
Exactly.
So it is rather insulting to me to introduce a young 80s era Storm who was badass and then not give her anything to work with. To introduce Psylocke, not give her anything to work with. You know,
to do Angel dirty.
Yeah.
Like,
die Angel, in a plane
like, I'm just not in that. It's like,
he can fly.
Exactly.
He didn't even talk. You know, before, it's like he was drunk most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then he joined the Apocalypse group and had a new shiny outfit. You know what I mean?
And his hair was
coiffed.
Can we get into the outfits for a quick second? Because this bothers me so much.
Yeah, as it should.
So first off,
Apocalypse is Taylor?
I'm going to start with Angel. So Angel is messed up and shirtless, right? Then they get Angel, they give him metal wings. Next time you see Angel, he's in a badass leather jacket. Then you see Angel again, and Apocalypse is making him a suit and then puts like weird lines on his face.
Yeah.
So my question
Apocalypse
is this.
Apocalypse is a tailor, apparently.
We definitely saw Apocalypse build a temple in a matter of 2 minutes on screen.
For sure.
Why is he in a basement diligently working on someone's outfit of rubber, like, meticulously, and it still looked kind of whack?
He's a tailor.
Number two.
He's a whack tailor.
Why was Angel not blue? Why did he have these weird tattoos on his face and no one else got that?
Why was he not blue?
I didn't even think of that.
Why
he's supposed to be the Angel of Death.
Okay, well, why when he gives Eric and Angel armor are Psylocke and Storm walking around with their butt cheeks hanging out?
Yeah. Storm's butt cheeks. Was she
wearing
pants?
Okay, she was wearing pants, but Psylocke, I know she was like, yo, it needs to look like the outfit
Psylocke
from the
had
comics.
Psylocke had her uniform.
I know, but at the same time, it's like, bro, this is not conducive to anything.
No, I agree.
I
totally agree with you. Everyone else has some type of built-up armor, you know, and it's like, yo, you looking real cool. You sexy right now. You good.
And not even that. If you're going to go Archangel, at least go with if you're going to do that, do the messed up weird purple and blue suit. Just do it.
That shit is classic, bro.
Just do it with the head
that
over.
Or the black and the silver one. He had that one, too, and it was dope.
They could have done with
the black and silver
one. With the X-Force one.
But apparently, you know, Apocalypse, his tailoring skills, you know, are a few centuries old. So he was like, yo, you could be half naked. That's cool. I'm going to give you some pants. Okay, hey, the dudes though, man, Magneto, I'm hooking you up. Made you a helmet and shit. You that guy, bro.
Wait. And this is my other thing too. Magneto made his helmet to combat Charles Xavier's telepathy, right?
Yeah.
Did Apocalypse know that? Was he psychic? No. He scanned the TV and got these weird programs and learned English.
Yeah. What we also need to know is
he would be the world's best torrent site.
Like what Apocalypse? What the hell are your powers?
Apocalypse.
That wasn't even actually. He's just going.
They gave him the illest, the illest explanation. They're like, he just jumps from mutant body to mutant body, and he accrues powers as that goes on.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And I'm like, wait, what? And I was like, wait, then why are you making four Horsemen of the Apocalypse? Why not kill them and take their powers?
Yeah.
Because he needs mutants specifically to worship him.
Why?
Because they're the strongest.
Why? And I don't understand why he was so against technology and then doesn't explain it.
Yo, you know what? That just reminded me. Why did he shoot all the nukes into space and then just leave them there? That was like the most worthless.
Well, I know he did that.
Ever.
Well, my belief in that was that he just took their weapons from them. He sees that you guys have destructive weapons and it could potentially be a weapon used against us, so we're going to eliminate your weapons.
Yeah,
now you're powerless.
But they're not powerless. humans have made so many weapons. We fought each other since we knew we could fight.
Yeah.
So we're just going to...
Since he was around.
Like, oh, snap. All the nukes are going off, but we're not... I'm not using these to actually destroy the people that I want to destroy. I'm just shooting them into space and letting them float there as debris. Yeah. I thought that that whole sequence was so
worthless.
No,
I agree with you because, okay, you're not using the bombs because that would be too easy. I'm going to use your weapons to kill you. Nah, I'm going to take the weapons from you and then we're going to purge the planet.
But this is what I'm talking about.
Like a cop out.
But this is what I'm talking about with lazy writing.
Lazy solution, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, so we might nuke them. No, let's just get rid of those.
We're going to take your nukes, but I have four people and me and we're going to purge the planet.
I mean, the other thing,
that kind of
bothered me too is like you have two Omega level mutants. You have Psylocke, which kind of makes sense as your personal bodyguard and ninja. Why is Angel there?
Where's her telepathy?
And then
that's part of her power.
Where's her trench coat?
Yeah,
the trench coat,
badass trench coat.
Everybody's coat game in this movie was very good.
So you got Psylocke. Now let's not shit on Angel. Angel's pretty solid in the fight, bro.
No, is Angel solid?
And he's Archangel. He's not even just regular.
Yeah,
Angel.
But Angel's solid after he gets the upgrade. Because before then, he's a super light dude that can like kind of fly, which is kind of his powers negated by anyone who has like any other multitude of powers.
I'm not
like,
gonna shit on Angel's tactical ability. He's an original X-Man.
Yeah,
but I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
but Archangel with metal wings that can shoot out, you know.
That's cool, too.
We don't get to see any of that except when he first gets them.
That's right. He doesn't ever do it again.
No.
I'm like, why aren't you attacking?
Because there are too many damn characters in this movie, and they try to do too much at once so people don't get to develop.
Days of Future Past had a bunch of characters, too, and they figured that out.
Yes. Go ahead, Caitlin.
No, you should. I mean, it's all about balance, but I think
right. No. It's all about balance and how you play things. Like, clearly you can have a movie that has multiple characters in it, but... The thing is with Days of Future Past, we already had movies that established who people were.
So we knew what their powers were.
Right.
We knew what they could do.
Exactly. But when you're bringing in a whole bunch of new characters and not explaining their purpose, and they're just kind of
reintroducing characters, essentially.
Right.
You still need to explain it. Like, okay, so you powered up everyone, but then they didn't have shit to do. So Storm didn't say anything that much after after the initial scene.
I heard that Magneto was your father. Yeah. That was about it.
You know, Angel says nothing and then gets killed in a whack-ass way.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Does it make sense that it never makes sense that Quicksilver doesn't tell Magneto that he's
that
a son?
That should make no sense.
Like, there's no point for him not to tell him.
No.
And
except that he killed a bunch of people and he probably feels some kind of way about telling him.
You should still be like, yo, you're my dad.
Yeah.
Maybe the movie's job should be to tell us why that does or doesn't happen instead of leaving us to wonder, hey,
you just
why
say,
you...
Whoa, he was reluctant. He's reluctant to tell him. Maybe he just wants to. Yo, I mean, they didn't tell us why.
Yo,
just...
I also have issue with the division. All right, we're getting way to the third act of the movie. Also, spoilers if you didn't realize. But
we always do spoilers. But now, if you don't know,
the movie's been out.
But they divide the teams of who's going to go after who, and they send Quicksilver and Mystique to go fight Magneto.
No, they didn't go fight. They were just going to talk.
Yeah, they were going to go talk, and they're like, yeah, Quicksilver somehow just going to run through all that shit. Whereas you have a person that has a cannon in his head and who could, in theory, blast Magneto out of this metal protective ball, but you just let him go off with no adult supervision because the other two adults were in the plane flying around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that kind of didn't make sense to me. Also, my biggest, most giant issue with this movie is Jennifer Lawrence, right? And... Fine actress in her own right.
I'm walking the line with you on
this. I liked her in Silver Linings Playbook, and I'm sure she's been amazing in other movies. There was no reason, but every single time that there's in the third act and like halfway through the second that there's some moral moment, she has to stand there and give a speech. And I'm like, bruh, I can't. I don't believe you. Why are you not?
Because what happened is Katniss Everdeen jumped from the universe in which she exists in and decided to be an X-Man. And the leader of the X-Men, but
right?
After all, what the fuck? Really? That made me very angry, dude.
Yeah, it's like it's rewriting the character and franchise. Well, not the whole franchise, but, you know, in order to play to what's popular in Hollywood. And what, like, but the it girl.
And that's what
you're
they
not
did
a
before,
fucking
though.
X-Man, bro.
I mean, I'm fine with movies playing with what's expected.
Sure,
who's in what category. My issue with her was that... It was a completely new character, her Mystique.
Yeah, from the last film.
And I thought, honestly, when she was introduced, I expected this to be, we were going to see her evolution, how she gets to
where she is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so far that hasn't happened. It's just this brand new one.
Let's just throw some boots and a leather jacket on you and you not be blue for the entire movie.
Why did she pick up a uniform? Like, you could just morph into a uniform. And wouldn't that hinder your powers? So think about it. When she turned into Psylocke to, like, trick Apocalypse with the sword,
he didn't know that.
But doesn't that mean at some point she had to find the time to take off the flight suit to then be able to transform so people could see her?
I guess, bro.
So where is this weird... At what moment did she do that in this fight? Or did she not do that, which means her powers are she can morph things that are on her body, which gives her a whole new set of stuff.
Did she actually put on the flight suit? Yes. Maybe she just wanted to match and morphed her body into one.
Nah, she put on... She's the one. She's the first person to grab it. Yeah. She threw it on.
She said, hey, there's some suits in here. Yeah, she put on the suit.
Yeah, I have such issues with Jennifer Lawrence in this movie. Such issues.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I just felt like she was fucking Katniss Everdeen. I felt like that's what she did. She was Katniss Everdeen with an X on a belt.
I feel like that's what the producers probably wanted, too.
But that's fucking trash. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, like, I don't think it's her fault as an actress, but I also don't enjoy it.
I mean, you got your check and your name's on the marquee. I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying I paid money to see the movie, and I didn't pay to see fucking Katniss Everdeen. That's done. You know, I paid to see the continuation of the character that you played in the last couple films, and we didn't get any evolution. We got like a stop out point where it's like, I'm just going to say some platitudes and, you know, I'm Jennifer Lawrence. Hey, look, it's me. I'm Jennifer Lawrence. I'm not blue.
She even kind of changes in the middle of the movie. Like at one point, she's like, she doesn't want this focus on her, and she's still morally ambiguous. But now at the end of it, she's just like, nah, listen to me. Like she turned into freaking Cyclops. Unless they're just going to age her out in the next one and just be like, well, now she's just a professor and she's old and blue.
Yeah.
And then everyone else takes over.
She left. She went away because she was bitter. I don't know. Whatever.
Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah. So two more things that annoyed me about this movie. One is the fact that there were bright spots that looked like they could have been much better movies but did not develop that way. But one thing that, just thinking about it now, really annoyed me was the whole Maura McTaggart thing. How at the end, Charles gives her memories back and she has that like single tear and starts smiling. And I was like, I'd be so angry with you. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't be friends. Like you went and
but
you...
They loved one another.
No, you took my memories away. Like...
Why did you do
my
that?
Fuck right there. You know, like I'd be pissed and angry and we would not be friends.
Yeah, I think we need a saturation point for me to think about the fact that you took my memories.
Yeah.
We might be able to work it out, but it's not going to be instantaneous.
Nah, it's not going to be right away. I'm not going to be like, oh, I love you. That's right. I remember. Be like, motherfucker, what?
I think I might need to go home for a few weeks, you know, and think about this.
Marinate.
Yeah, you know.
And also the fact that Magneto at the end just kind of comes back and is like, I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to help you rebuild and be in my suit jacket off.
I mean, I agree with you. It's like, and that doesn't follow Magneto's character arc of who Magneto is as a character.
None of this did. They wasted him.
He would have just left.
He literally killed millions of people by changing the magnetic poles, and then he's building the school with Jean.
Like, this is okay.
And I'm just like, wait, what? First of all, I'm like,
it's
why?
It's too easy.
I'm like, why are they the only two people that are rebuilding this house, and why is she so powerful that she can do this already? Oh, you want to talk about Jean Ex Machina?
Here we
go. Because she's the character that I hate in the comic books in this movie. Can't turn her telepathy off. Invading everyone's privacy, and then all of a sudden she's the Phoenix.
She can manifest the Phoenix Force. Yeah.
Like, yo, like I feel like whoever directed this movie is really bad at foreplay, because it is like there was a little bit of a tease and then we get the Phoenix right in the same movie. Nah, bruh. Like, let it build to that.
Or if it's gonna happen, it needs to build within the movie. There needs to be some more incidents where you're like, yo, what's going on with her? We already know that she's been having some issues because the kids are afraid of her, her room's burned up. Okay, cool. But then that was the only two things that we saw for the entirety of the movie.
Right.
Until when he says, you know, unleash your power. Don't hold back. Don't hold back, bro. It's like, yo, dude, like, have you guys been having some sessions? Like, you know, what's going on? That, you know what I mean? Like, we didn't see any of that or hear about it.
They were trying to do too much. And when you do too much in a film, you can't really explore the things that will make your film shine.
They needed a way to kill a character that's virtually unkillable.
Or,
he's seen the light, though.
Gene Ex Machina. Speaking of other Ex Machinas, something I liked about this movie, Wolverine Ex Machina.
Well, come on, man. Our good friend Logan has to show up. I heard they added that because it wasn't in the original cut. The Weapon X sequence was added.
That's interesting.
I'm okay with that because it was awesome.
And so it makes no sense. Mm-hmm. Like, it makes no sense, like, time-wise. But, hey, okay, I'm with it. But that also, once again, it reinforces my
theory. Time-wise, it doesn't make sense. No. For their timeline, it makes sense. I just want to say, for the actual timeline.
It reinforces my Wolverine is really creepy theory.
Here we go.
Because he's running around half naked and prepubescent Gene touches his mind and gave him memories back, and now he forever has a redhead fetish. I'm just saying, Wolverine is creepy.
I mean, it is weird if we take into consideration like the other timeline, which this is supposed to be connected to. It is weird that this is young Gene that he's not palling around with, and in the future he has a major crush on her.
Yeah. Again, we don't know if it's the same timeline because they've completely skewed everything.
That's fair. Yeah. Plus, the ages would be all skewed. Yeah.
First of all, Wolverine. I mean, he's already he's already old anyway. But in terms of human relations,
If you see someone grow up, then, you know that shit
happens in anime all the time. Oh, go ahead. I know.
If we're talking about anime, that's a whole different. That shit is creepy in anime.
Is the movie doing more violence to plot consistency and timelines than the comics? I feel like the comics also retconning things and nothing makes any sense.
But I mean, the movies have just taken out I feel like there's not even a modicum of respect. It's like
also,
you guys don't care about the fact that this one thing happened, but you forgot.
I mean, I think
that.
I have a different reaction to the movie from you guys because I don't know who any of these characters are anyway. So it's not possible for me to care about whether or not they're developed well or treated with integrity or I wasn't expecting the movie to make sense or have good writing or have good acting or all that I wanted going into that movie was some cool FX scenes. And I got that.
You did.
His powers made no sense,
but it looked cool.
Whatever, it looked cool. The nuclear missile scene was ridiculous. It made no sense, but it was awesome looking. It had a fucking cool soundtrack.
Yeah,
a lot of the movie had a great soundtrack. I thought
it did have great
the Quicksilver.
That was the best
part. Sweet dreams are made of these scenes.
That was the best part. Cool.
It was a rehash, but it was great.
Also, how fast is he moving at that point? Super. I saw a meme that was Marvel's. What was it? It was Sony's Quicksilver fast enough to screw around while saving people's lives in explosion. Marvel's Quicksilver is just fast enough to get shot
to
by
get
bullets.
Shot. Yeah, that was very annoying.
Yo.
Yeah.
No, that's fine. No, but the crazy thing about this movie is the two best scenes are scenes that could literally have been written out of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
There's such diversions, but they're incredibly amazing.
I think they should keep those scenes and write out more of the plot because the plot was retarded.
I agree.
Agreed.
Moira McTaggart scene was the dumbest movie scene I've ever seen.
It was fucking Indiana Jones.
I would have punched him in the face. You know,
Thank you.
I completely agree with your take on that scene.
It's
for me, that scene just shouldn't have been there. My main problem with the movie is that it was 45 minutes too long.
Yeah.
Agreed.
They should have just kept all the cool scenes, eliminated all the speeches and exposition. Yeah. Right?
I was just appreciating it
as a plotless art movie anyway, right? I don't care what's happening. I just want to see flying.
There's a really good Magneto movie in there.
Yes.
There's a really cool Magneto in Scott Summers based movie that would work. And it'd be some weird...
As long as they took out that whole stupid shit with his wife and his daughter. It was so useless.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it was kind of lame.
Yes.
Wait, what?
Because that's...
It makes so much sense.
No, it doesn't.
It was cheap motivation. It was cheap-ass motivation.
I understand, because I have actual problems with the idea that a man has a bow and arrow with no metal tip and accidentally pulled it with enough force to go through two people. That makes no sense.
Yeah.
But
at the range he was at without actually pulling it and aiming.
The idea
which he
didn't. The idea that Magneto went off, had a human family, or started a family.
I'm okay with that.
That's not what bothers me.
But they were created just to be refrigerated.
Exactly. Exactly. That was their whole purpose. This always happens. Someone needs to be dark and evil. Let's kill his wife and daughter.
They were created to be killed so he could go, no!
No!
I'm mad again!
He could have had
I kill you with my locket.
Oh, that was kind of dope, though.
I kill you with my patents.
It was dope, though.
That was kind of dope.
Yes.
It was
dope. However, he could have killed them for some other reason. He's Magneto. Like, what reason does he... Like, we could have done he's this some
a,
other way.
Yeah, he's got an interesting character philosophy. There are plenty of ways he can get motivated to do all sorts of stuff we don't necessarily agree with.
Yeah, he doesn't even really like humans all that much. They could have done something to piss him off.
Needed him to be, you know, emotionally bereft. So Apocalypse could go, hey, man, you want to join my band?
Join the band, play the drums.
And not even that. Also would really enjoy if it wasn't, it didn't go down like that. Because I feel like when you're dealing with, like, steel workers and stuff like that, if they would have saw him save somebody's life, right? They would have been like, huh. Like, someone would have walked up to him like, I'm pretty sure you're Magneto, but you saved Bill's life, and he's the godfather to my kid, and so you can save with me.
And you've been here for a long time, else. And we trust you.
Like, there was no reason for everyone at Steel Mill to die. Like, that
they would shake like, oh, yeah, you saved Bill's life, and he didn't die, but, like, you know, aren't you, like, a murderer and shit?
That was an amazing speech, though.
I feel when like he we're was all just kind like, of murderers in here, though,
maybe. Probably. Nothing. There probably were some murderers in there.
Yeah,
some people probably cheating on their wives. There's probably some uncool people.
That's real.
Everyone has their dirt, yo.
He just happens to be a guy in a suit who did something that, like, they all can't do. It's terrible.
In the version of the movie with no Apocalypse, that happens. They're all in a bar afterwards, and they're drinking, and someone's like, "Yo, I stole a car. Yo, I have a record." And you just hear all these people just being like, "We all
I
have
killed
dirt.
A man and buried him."
And
it, like,
exactly.
I cheated on
and
my
it
wife.
Comes
though.
Out later.
I'm still doing it. You know. I'm doing it right now.
Or
actually.
the issue
tonight.
The impetus is like what if his wife was cheating on him with, like, a dude that was also, like, a Nazi? And then that's kind of what turns him.
Stop.
Here we go.
Can we call this a tangent?
This is a tangent. We're all a part of it. I got to give it it's either a C or a C minus for me, man. I can't give anything below that. You know, because I feel like basically what they were doing was trying to form the Uncanny X-Men, except that in Days of Future, and not in Days of Future Past, in X-Men First Class, they were supposed to be forming the original X-Men, and they shitted on that. So now they've stretched out all this time, so now they're just now forming the original X-Men, except that Angel got killed, and a bunch of other shit that shouldn't have happened.
How old is Magneto in this movie, by the way?
Well, if he was a young man in the 60s, he's just a good 50. Him, Beast, and Professor Xavier.
Beast looked like he 35.
Yeah.
Beast getting up there.
That guy that plays Beast is trash, by the way.
Wait, really?
He looks older than the professor.
Yo, I like him as a guy. He looks weird whenever he's Beast, though.
He has no emotions. He's trash.
I thought he was good in Mad Max.
Skins, you know.
He was Nux.
He's Nux?
Yeah, bro.
Kyle, what?
Oh, my goodness.
You just don't care about knowing actors, do you?
He's a British actor.
So. He was also in a car commercial because that's what British actors do, apparently.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yo.
I fucking hate that car commercial also. What a moronic commercial. I want to punch that guy.
He looks
I'm
way...
I'm just projecting my hatred of the commercial,
he looks
honestly.
He looks way thicker as Beast than he does as Nux.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's okay. But yeah, so... Oh, man, that movie should have been better. But
yes.
What if but something happens and then they give it to Marvel and then they can do it correctly? This is the world we live in, people.
Unfortunately, it made lots of money, so they're going to make another one. As long as they make money, they're going to continue to churn them
that's
out.
That's not true.
Now, DC, if they don't...
DC's crapping their pants right now.
Oh, well, that's DC.
And once they made money.
They're blowing it. You know, I'm talking about Sony. Sony's like, look, bruh. As long as we had to do that Spider-Man thing because, you know, nah. But this X-Men thing, as long as we keep making a lot of money, we're never going to do it. And it would be amazing if they did, if it went back to the House of Ideas so they could do it properly.
Whatever. Old Man Logan will be good, though.
I mean.
Old Man Logan will be good. Deadpool 2 will be good.
It's fucking Logan.
So will be good.
We'll
get Cable. Can't wait for Cable.
If we get an X-Force movie, that'd be amazing.
With Cannonball and DaCosta. And Boom Boom. Who would be Boom Boom?
I don't know.
Who would you cast as Boom Boom?
Can
anybody?
I be Boom Boom?
You can be Boom Boom.
Brie Domino? Larson. I'm kidding.
Yo, they're probably going to make Boom Boom black. They need more, they're going to change somebody's race. But then again, that group was already pretty diverse.
Buzz.
Yo.
Got a werewolf?
I'm with it.
Shame.
I always liked
it. Got Wolfsbane?
Yo, you know? She was awesome.
Yeah, you got a...
Oh, yeah, what's the name's changing sexuality? Quake. And you get Shatterstar? Yo, you get Shatterstar and Quake, like, making out on screen? This is a win for everybody.
Yeah.
Kyle just went somewhere else with this.
I get what he's saying, though. What? It'd be fine.
It's inclusive without having to be overly inclusive.
It works for their diversity campaign.
Word.
As long as, you know, people get murked. And there's lots of guns.
As long as people die.
People got to get murked, man. It's X-Force, bro. They handle all the they handle the dirtbag jobs. And Cable needs to be... Now, that's going to be a problem if they don't do that correctly.
Cable?
Cable's scenario is already convoluted anyway. Like, his parents... He comes back to the, comes back to the past. His parents had him in the future and then left him there to be raised to stop who? Apocalypse.
Word.
Who just died, apparently.
That should have been...
He saw the light.
That should have been an after credit.
He saw the
scene.
Light.
He saw the light, apparently. Yeah.
Wait, what was the after credit scene?
I think it had something to do with Mr. Sinister. I forget. Yep. It was Exxon.
Basically, they showed up to the Weapon X facility.
Oh,
they took Logan's blood. There was a bunch of other people's blood.
I'm not even gonna lie. I definitely
the internet
that.
Helped me on that yes. one.
Yeah.
Mr. Essex, aka whose history is connected to Apocalypse. You know?
And Scott Summers.
Yeah.
They found at least they got Scott. Pretty right. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the characterization so far.
His suit
but speaking of people dying that we haven't talked about on this podcast. R.I.P. Hodor.
Yeah.
Hodor. Also, shout out to Root, person of interest. Kicked it. Gone. My joy lasted not even a whole episode.
Oh, person of interest. I'm sorry, Caitlin.
She's the only one that watches Person of Interest.
I was confused. I was like, who died?
I was like, who
it's
died?
Good. It's a really, it's a solid sci-fi show.
Yeah.
You talk
no,
about
I agree.
It.
CBS is where shows go to die, but I agree that it is a good show.
They're fucking burning it off. Like, 3 episodes last week, 2 this week. I mean, it's like,
it's like what they do with Legend of Korra. It's like, by the way, 5 episodes dropping. It's like, wait, what?
It was like they announced like shortly before they started filming this season. Oh yeah, you guys are only getting 13 episodes, and then they didn't tell them when they were premiering. They're like, oh, so we're done. Now so they're killing off all their characters, pretty much.
Everybody dies.
Yeah.
So yeah, the homie Hodor went out like a G. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, but I did like.
You did.
I totally like that loop though. That's why everybody got emotional. It's like, okay, wait a minute, bro. So you used your powers to affect the past that you weren't even there for.
And you broke a man's mind.
Yeah. In the past, in the memory of the past, well, basically you time traveled to the past, and changed it.
So just for my clarification, right, what exactly happened there? Was it psychic feedback? Like, how did he change William? Is that his name, William? What exactly happened? Because he was there, and then William started freaking out. So was it the psychic? Feedback.
Well, I remember the three-eyed raven told him, "Yo, man, you can't stay here long."
Yeah, I mean, that's not even that, but like,
you're not supposed to be here long. You were just observing.
But wasn't he was there with the three-eyed raven?
Yeah,
and then the three-eyed raven got jacked up because he was transferring all of his memories.
Yeah,
because
the three-eyed raven was his anchor.
So Bran couldn't. I'd have thought Bran couldn't leave.
Yeah.
So
I think it was like the psychic, you know, loop, like that, the. You know,
that's what you think got Hodor like to.
Well, of him getting all that information because he was supposed to give it to him. You know, he's supposed to give it to him in increments and I guess teach him. But time ran out and it was just like a download.
Okay, so it was the fact that it was downloading to Bran messed up.
Nah, what? I think I have 2 ideas on what that was. It's either doing the time travel bit. Was it green? Whatever, doing the time travel bit and working at the same time. Could have broken him, or this is like legit the connection, like Hodor seeing his own death or being connected to his own death through the psychic link of Bran in that time
at the same time. Yeah.
So, okay, so that's warged. Okay. Yeah. So it was the warging mixed with the time travel. So it was kind of the
those
fact that
thoughts.
They're both existing.
Yeah,
it makes more sense.
And you're connected, and he's specifically
connected
to both ends.
Right.
But I mean, it's definitely Bran breaking Hodor's mind. That's for sure.
Right.
I mean, which
right.
Really
I just didn't understand why.
And then causing. All this time he's been saying Hodor, and you're like, oh, that's his name. No. That's all he can say is his name. And he's saying, hold the door.
I mean, George and whatever his name is warned him ages ago. The first time he warged into Hodor, like, you shouldn't do that, man. So
yeah.
There's apparently a reason.
Well, he's out of there now. I hope that he doesn't come back.
And I hope he had some utility in that. I hope that Hodor at the end was he out, like, that it was out of it and it was his own choice to keep holding that door. Mm-hmm. I want that to be his decision. Otherwise, it's too heartbreaking.
I didn't even think of that.
The question is, did he know the whole time that that was going to happen? Because he saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he did.
Yeah.
Which is pretty fucked up.
Which is kind of fucked up.
And then I guess in his willingness to help Brian go with him, he knows it's happening, so it is his choice to take
and
part
then
in it.
And when the time came, he was like, yeah, I'm going to hold
ripped
him.
Apart.
Yeah.
But by whites.
He was freaking out beforehand, so didn't Bran have to work into him to get him up? So if he knew what was happening, was he afraid of what was happening and then had to have the push to go and then made the ad?
Time travel.
It's not clear.
Time fucking
the end result's
travel.
The same. He's out of there, bro.
And I like what they've done with Arya. I like that she's like broken from the rest of the group, from her League of Assassins.
Dude,
I actually did.
She's going to kill that waif. Lights are out. She's had that blind training. She is ready.
You want her to die.
I don't want her to
die. I'm going to be honest. I hate that bitch. I hate her. And I want her to hate her. You kill her, please.
She's a tattletale. She's like, I knew it was going
to
happen.
But to be fair, she probably didn't come from, like, I imagine she was lower class. She wasn't born in a high family like Arya. And she worked her ass off in this League of Assassins. And all of a sudden, Arya comes in, gets special treatment. She's like, what?
Nah, dude, kill this bitch. I don't care. She's a jerk.
I'm ready for her to die. I'm ready. She's
a jerk, bro.
The many-faced god will claim a face.
Yeah, yeah.
So
kill her, bro.
True.
For once, I don't want to see somebody die. I mean, she's gonna die.
It's her, but Arya. Like,
yeah, no, yeah, exactly.
You know it ain't Arya.
Exactly. No, I'm with it, but I was not ready for that. I'm completely set in these books for Arya to just go down this really, really, really dark path, where she's like assassinating people and doesn't like get her own revenge or have her own agency until like something very drastic happens, and then she like kills Cersei. But it seems like now she's like, nah, I'm out. And she's going to, you know what's going to happen. She's going to end up with Daenerys Targaryen somehow, chilling with Tyrion. And then she's going to come back to King's Landing. Like, what? And then they're going to meet up with Jon Snow. And then they're all going to, like, take the Iron Throne. And then they're going to go back up to that wall and beat the Night King's ass.
Don't you think there's a chance that...
No, I don't even need to watch the rest of the show.
I feel like, you think the Iron Islands won't succeed in meeting up with Daenerys?
They will, but I've heard a lot of people's theories are just like, he's going to show up, she's going to burn him to death with a dragon, and then she's out and take all the ships.
Yeah, I don't think Daenerys will be very impressed by him.
Oh, I don't either. I just feel like there are a lot of other people I see her meeting up with before Arya, I guess.
Okay.
Oh, no, I think Arya's going to be like a random person. Or in continuing her buddy cop adventures, she links up with Mormont, with Mormont, Joriah Mormont. That's not his name, whatever.
Jorah of the Andals?
Yeah.
Or that guy.
Yeah, that dude. And then while he's looking for this cure, she's like, well, you're a good knight. Da, 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 da. And then eventually turns into a stone man. She has to kill him and then goes back, takes his head to like Daenerys or something. I don't know.
I really want her to join the acting troupe. Can that just be her story?
Dude, yeah.
That is going to happen.
Really?
Yes. I say 95% probability.
So you think she's going to use it to hide out to travel to where she wants to get to?
Yeah, and because I mean, I don't know what I'm spoiling here, but... There's a pre-release chapter of Winds of Winter that suggests that happens.
I'm so pleased.
Now there's a vacancy in the cast. So
can I get money for asking me? Like, am I prophetic now? Is
that... Yes, you are.
I mean, when did this come out? Okay.
There's like a college campus that has like an unedited manuscript because they were talking about Cole Hands and they're how like Cole Hands isn't Brendan Stark in the books, but it is Brendan Stark's.
No, I think Cole Hands is Benjen Stark in the books. Benjen. It's not made clear in the books, but that was a fairly one of the more popular plausible fan theories that Cold Hands was Benjen Stark.
It's a perfect time for him to come back, by the way.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? Because I didn't read the books, so Andrew had told me that the character's name was Cold Hands, and he was never called Cold Hands in the episode. They called him Benjen, so I was really mad afterwards. I was like, Andrew, you're trolling me. That's not his name.
I think
it's Benjen. It's not Cold Hands, you jerk. I was confused.
But Cold Hands, in the books, Cold Hands was with them for that whole episode, North of the Wall.
He's clearly got a very warm heart, though. Saving a lot of peace.
He just needs some hand warmers or maybe some gloves.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I'm stunned after that.
I think that wraps up the talk.
Actually, just want to mention, I don't know if you guys talked about this while I was gone, but the Daenerys scene from the end of the episode.
Yeah, we did talk about that.
That scene was fucking awesome.
Yeah. No, wait. Yes. Which one? The one where she stands up
she
in the fire?
All
she lights everyone on fire.
She's dipping into evil. That speech she gave last episode, by the way. Yeah, she's ready for it.
Wait, why is she evil?
No, I feel like she's just less willing to take... She doesn't care as much about helping the places she saved. Now she's ready to burn shit down, is what I'm saying. She doesn't care about the diplomacy. She's willing to accept her position as conqueror.
As a conqueror.
Yeah.
And apparently, from the after episode talk, that speech is very reminiscent of the one that Khal Drogo gave to his people.
Yep.
And the promise that he made to her.
Yeah, it echoes that.
It's the same speech.
Yeah. So we'll see we'll
see what happens when she ends up back in Marine. It would be dope, though, if she, like, retook the other cities before she got back with her dragon and her Dothraki horde, you know? And it's going to be so glorious when they finally meet up. But at what point, the thing that keeps bothering me is, like, at what point do people from the north tie down a White Walker and bring his ass to, like, the court? Like, they're doing all these stupid machinations and, like...
Well, they
death is coming.
They don't believe they exist, bro. Like I'm really, man.
That's what
we learned that seeing Sam
up and bring him back, like
so that they can see, like, yo, it's real, dude.
This is real. This is happening.
Yeah, I get what
you're
saying.
You guys are acting like idiots right now. And on top of that, like, I feel like this story ends in one of two ways. One, Daenerys sits on the throne, burns everything down, everybody lives happily. Or two, everyone loses. White Walkers win, and the Earth just becomes winter for forever.
King's Landing is about to go to shit, though.
I mean, I think it's definitely Daenerys and Jon as our two central people who are going to shape this world. Well, yeah, Bran in the behind-the-scenes puppet master kind of way. But yeah, I don't know. Who am I to say?
And big props to young Sam, who, like... That was a weird scene, right? So I'm not sure if he was supposed to stand up for his bride or if he should have just taken the L... And then did what he did. So I'm not sure if he was heroic in that or smart or what.
It made sense for his character.
Yeah. Though his mom was the goat for that. When she was like,
oh,
you're making a fool of yourself.
And taking his woman away. Yeah.
Because, that guy's a real asshole. I kind of want him to die.
Yeah, I'm really glad that sword is in the right hands.
Yes.
Where it's going to be of some use killing White Walkers.
Boom.
And, So while the whole scene is happening, when he's in her bedchamber, like, you're going to stay here and I'm going to go away. And he's, like, acting very, very sheepish. And then she, like, kisses him and then he walks out. And I was like, bro, you're not going to see her again? You're not just going to spend the night and have fun? Like, what are you doing? And then he comes back and they leave. And I'm like, all right, cool, good. Good for you, Sam. You deserve it.
He can damn well try.
Am I still supposed to say Chase, by the way? I don't remember.
Yes.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Because Sam don't care. Sam don't give a fuck.
He's like a honey badger.
Yo, Sam has broken that vow. Sam has broken that vow. I was going to say more than Jon Snow did, but, like, yeah, they're out there, like, these people on a wall out here living. You know what? That brings me to, like, a little bit of a side note, but it's on Game of Thrones.
Does it? It brings you to a side note?
Yeah, it does. Dig. That's only two drinks. I'm very disappointed in all of our work today.
Cats.
All right, three drinks. So, yo.
Deuce X.
Does anyone remember at the end of season one, when the Meister at King's Landing, he's having sex with a prostitute, kicks her out, shows that he's super limber, and then just goes about his day, and we're like, oh, this is a farce. They never explore that under any circumstance ever again. Like, has there been anything else that is not paid off to such a degree in this show?
I'm still kind of waiting for that. I mean, Benjen just came back. When did we lose him? Season one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's still time. He's still in play. So I figure that could still pay off
Stark
in some way. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Yo, Benjen Stark. Yo. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe they're just like, we got to bring him back because we've taken so much from this family. Let's give him one back, you know? Because Rickon's about to die. Rickon's going to die so soon.
If he's not already dead.
I felt bad for Asha. I always liked him.
Oh, yeah. He got her. He saw right through her ruse. I was like, Asha, you're not fooling anybody right now.
She should have thought that Theon would have informed, oh, yeah, this is how she got away from me with the kid. I mean, she's just trying to protect the kid. You know, I don't blame her.
I don't blame her, but, man.
But what a way to peel an apple.
Yo, you're just full. When is your stand-up routine?
I was going to say, you're on point today.
Is this like Second City training in Chicago?
Oh, God. Like, yeah, because I have such great delivery.
Kaylin's so funny.
Word. K Smalls disappeared somehow. I hope it's not us related, because we've done that before.
Well, then he'll have to pay the price for it, because we'll talk shop until he comes back, and then we'll say goodbye.
Oh, word. Or should we just press pause and then
we don't press pause.
We pause for no man
or woman, because we're gender equal.
Yeah, or child or pet.
No, we pause for women. We're not men.
Yo, at what point do people like, yo, I don't see color? It's like, I don't see genitalia.
What?
Ding.
That's not a thing.
Oh, ding.
I'm pretty
ding.
Sure it is. You know. Right. Yeah, I'm gender blind, I guess.
So we're about to wrap it up now.
It'll be wrapping up very shortly, about the amount of time it takes to zip up a hoodie, maybe. Is how quickly we'll be wrapping it up.
Yeah.
I'm K. Smalls, the animal.
Dr. Phil.
My name is Ayani.
DK Marco.
Just Caitlin.
This has been
Nuff Said. And you can catch us on all the social medias. We're on Tumblr. This is Nuff Said. We're on Instagram at Nuff Said. You can catch us on SoundCloud and iTunes at KNUFS space SAID. And it's not the other Nuff Said. You got to have the one with a K. Also, shout out to Miss Al Boogie. Awesome dancer, awesome singer. I rock with her. And also, shout out to Ed Francis, Ed from IC. Thanks for listening. Okay. Oh, and happy belated birthday, Klaus. You're living life. Like, your pictures from Mexico are amazing.
All right.
All right. See you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.